Someone told me they need to do to get somewhere after church today, so I'm going to keep it a little bit brief. The problem with that is that this sermon grew this week. This scripture lesson grew this week, and you'll see what I mean in a moment. I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and then from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. 1 Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. That's in your Pew Bible on 972, if you'd like to follow along. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now that's a pivotal statement, by the way. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So they went across the lake, chapter 5 now, to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them in out of the area. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Now those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. So as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him. Jesus said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And so the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I've entitled this message Storms because it begins with a storm, an ordinary wind blowing with all of the sound effects that you produced earlier. I won't make you do that again, by the way. But it was a good way to get everybody into the spirit. But then it goes on to different kinds of storms, and we're going to explore that a little bit this morning. it produces an interesting study, the stories as they come together. And if you are a Bible scholar, even if you just read at home, Mark has a very interesting way of crafting his stories and putting them in a sequence where they have more meaning together than they do individually. And if you ever read the Gospel of Mark, keep this in mind, that sometimes it's the pairing of the different stories together that also has a message with it. So keep that in mind. But let's begin with the beginning. It was stormy. Jesus was asleep. Dawn had said earlier, he was exhausted. He had been preaching from that very boat to the people on the shore. He'd been healing and lots of activity. So he's exhausted. He's asleep. And of course, a storm begins and rages and threatens to swamp the boat. Now in panic, the disciples woke him and spoke to him, and he of course turned to the wind and the waves, and he said, "Peace, be still." And they were calmed. Then proceeding across the sea, the boat landed on the eastern shore where there was another storm. But this time it was inside of a human being. It was a storm inside of this tormented man. Jesus confronted this very violent, demon-possessed man. Remember, the scripture said that he was so strong that chains couldn't hold him. They would break iron chains that they would put on him. This was a really violent person. And he rushed down to meet Jesus as soon as he came to the shore. And just as Jesus calmed the storm, he confronted this tormented man. He asked the demon for his name. And they found out there was not just one demon. They called themselves Legion, for there were many. Now, a Roman legion consisted of between 4,000 and 6,000 men. So this man was afflicted by a lot of demons. That's essentially the message. But take note, the demons recognized Jesus immediately, and they knew he had the power to send them into the deep darkness of the abyss. So the demons cried out for mercy, of all things. They asked Jesus to send them into that herd of pigs in the nearby hillside. Jesus agreed, and the demons left the man and went into the pigs, and of course the pigs promptly plunged themselves over the cliff into the sea. 2,000 pigs. Probably in the economy of that community, that was a huge loss. It'd be like a factory burning, or all the cattle in an area getting a disease that caused them to have to be put down. The action of the pigs is interesting because in those days people believed that the gateway to the abyss, to the deepest, darkest hell that you can imagine, was found in the sea. But people were very careful when they were on the sea because they didn't want to fall into the abyss. And it seems that Jesus was assenting to the demons' desires, but in the end, they ended up in the abyss anyway. Kind of an ironic twist to that story. But there's so much that this passage has to say to us. Listen, we have to note that this place where Jesus and the disciples landed is not Jewish territory. What Mark refers to as the country of the Gerasenes is part of a larger province called the Decapolis. There were 10 cities in that area that were established by the Romans in order to promote Greek and Latin culture. They couldn't make much headway back near Jerusalem and Israel because the Jewish community was so powerful and so strong there. So they decided, we're going to start a demonstrative community of 10 cities across the lake in this place called Decapolis. Decapolis meaning 10. There were 10 cities that were Latin and Greek centers of culture. Okay, they were going to try to promote the Latin culture, the Greek culture, and proper. Their hope was, of course, to counteract the Jewish faith system. Now, the population of the Decapolis at that time was mostly Greek-speaking Gentiles. There are very few Jews living in the Decapolis at that time. Pigs, of course, by the Jews, were considered a very unclean animal. Jews were forbidden to eat pork. It was unlawful for them. So you wouldn't find a pig farm in Israel. So what does Jesus find when he first lands over in the land of the Decapolis? A huge pig farm, 2,000 of them. Now, the story demonstrates these pigs were raised by the Greek-speaking people, and so Jesus didn't mind sending demons into a herd of unclean pigs. Not a big deal. Take an unclean demon, put him in an unclean pig. What do you get? A bunch of dead pigs, essentially. Knowing that the land of the Gerasenes was largely inhabited by Gentiles is an indication of something far more important, especially for us, believe it or not. Note, Jesus intentionally went to that community, knowing that it was not a Jewish community, knowing that it was basically a Gentile community of cities, and he performed a miracle for the benefit of a Gentile. What is the message there? You know, up to now, Jesus had only worked in Israel among the Jews. In fact, he even said at one point, I've come to minister to the Jews. But here, he intentionally goes to a Gentile community and he heals. And of course, there is a cost involved in healing. If you ever been to a hospital, you know that's pretty true, right? It ain't cheap. But by entering the country of the Gerasenes, Jesus was entering into this land of unclean people. Now, you have to notice, Jesus had to pay a price for even being there. Touching one of these people, interacting with them, even being in the same room with them, would by Jewish law make Jesus unclean. He would be forbidden from entering the temple for at least several days. He would be cut off from his friends who were practicing Jews. They would not have anything to do with him until he went through a cleansing period. So this was a big cost, which speaks to me about how intentional Jesus really was here. But cleanness, uncleanness, that didn't stop Jesus, did it? The cost associated with a healing didn't bother Jesus. Some ministers have taken literally to mean that one should show a financial seed to receive a physical blessing of healing. And so we had in our nation's history, and I still probably in some places, we have people who have miracle crusades. You pay $19.99 for a prayer cloth and maybe has some, or holy oil or water from the River Jordan. And that's the price tag of healing. But the demoniac did not pay, nor did he ask for healing, but Jesus healed him anyway. In this case, the healing was free financially, yet there were other costs to be paid as well. The healed man put on new clothes. He was in his right mind. And this was great news for him, but horrible news for his neighbors. They entered the swine, the legion of demons that had possessed him, entered the swine, and they rushed down the bank, and they were drowned. The possessed pigs were the livelihood of many, many people in his area. The loss of the animals meant a huge loss for the community. One storm had stopped. Take note, if we're thinking of in terms of storms. Jesus said, "Peace be still." They landed safely in the land of the Gerasenes. The man with a full of chaos and demon possession rushed down to meet them, and Jesus said, "Peace be still," and he took the legion of demons out of him and sent him into the pigs, and the pigs went violently into the water. Then there was peace. One storm was stopped, another began, another storm was stopped, and still one more was born. The people of the community rose up. They demanded that Jesus leave. He had brought a storm into their lives. Their economic ruin was a result of a beautiful motion of Jesus for healing. Now, something else happened here in the story I think is very important for us to note. As Jesus got into the boat and was getting ready to leave, the man, of course, closed in his right mind, rushed to Jesus and begged him to allow him to come along. But Jesus had a job for him. He knew that this healing bound him to Jesus. He owed Jesus his life. And with that healing came discipleship. Actually, apostleship. Because as he came to Jesus, Jesus says, "No, don't come with me. Go home. Go home and tell people what has happened to you and how you were delivered. Tell them the great news of the love of God." He was called then to do mission. He was called to serve. He was now enrolled as an apostle to the gospel of Jesus Christ. His healing, his salvation empowered him to do new things. Now pause for a moment. That's exactly the same calling that we have upon us. We have all been healed. Heaven forbid that anyone was afflicted by a legion of devils. But we had our own demons. But Christ healed us of our sin, took it away, sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us, make us holy. We are being made a new creation, just as that demon-possessed Gerasene man. He is a new creation. He lives in a new reality now, created by his healing. He's turned from disciple into apostle in just a few moments. The whole person healed and saved was just simply to go home and say how much God had done for him. He's become a missionary. Now, why did I tie these two stories together? Because of all the intricacies there. Because of all the little lessons about how one storm can be stilled and yet another storm be born. And that happens in our lives. It happens in so many places and so many times. This morning, the Sunday school class saw a clip of the life of Richard Werthland. Warbront, I'm sorry. And it was an example. 14 years, he was abducted by the communists and put into prison for 14 years, didn't know where his wife was. She was also taken to a labor camp. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. I think of Benjamin Weir, who I think was back in the 80s, was kidnapped and was kept prisoner. Benjamin Weir was a Presbyterian minister. And he talked about how he was chained to a radiator in a cold room, and all he had were three light bulbs above him. And he named them Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and prayed for deliverance over and over. We have no idea how those kind of storms, how powerful they are in a person's lives. But yet many of us have our own storms. Storms come to everybody's life. Sometimes they're not that spectacular where you're abducted off the street. But the same way your life gets abducted by change, by tragedy, by any number of things, but illness. There's one thing that these stories bring to us, each and every one, and that is that we have a Savior who is with us in the boat. That if that boat is our life, then Jesus Christ is in that boat with us. And yes, we can cry out for healing. We can cry out for the storm to stop. And Jesus will bring that kind of peace. I love it when we hear those words, peace be still. We sang a few moments ago, Be Still My Soul, a really intense, beautiful hymn about, you know, how God can do that. Now, there is a saying, sometimes a God's child might be in the midst of a storm, and they cry out, God, please stop the storm. And it became, and oftentimes, sometimes God will still the storm. Sometimes God will just bring peace to the one who's in the storm. He'll put you in the kind of the eye of the hurricane. There used to be a song about that as well, about how in Jesus Christ, if he bestows that kind of peace upon our lives, that we can be in the eye of a hurricane, experiencing his peace. Now, Ben Weir wrote about that. There's a book that he wrote about his experience, that he kind of felt like that he was in the eye of the hurricane. Though the storm raged around him, in Christ, he was covered by grace and peace. It's a wonderful testimony. So if you find yourself in a storm, remember who's lying there asleep on a cushion. Call upon him and see what wonders he can do. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there with us in the storms of life. And though things get super complicated sometimes, you know how to sort things out. You know how to save in the midst of a storm. Put us in the eye of every storm, and may that peace that passes understanding fill us with now and forever. Amen.